Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And we are in Hebrews, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to Hebrews 13 in just a little bit here. But this all connects, and this is all important. You know, we were talking about discipline last week. You know, the chapter 12, he starts meddling in our life, and he starts talking to us about our spiritual and how the Spirit of God is working through us to the outside, and how our testimony is, and how our witness is, you know, these kinds of things. But when you talk about discipline, you know, and he does relate it, I'm going to get to this. Hang tight, hold that page. What does that really mean? You know, what we relate to in discipline is how Dad used to spank. Give it to us, right? He used to come and spank us, or he used to, you know, unfortunately sometimes, you know, Dad yells at us. You know, he's doing the best he can, okay? And I lost everything here, but hang with me. This is a show, right? Has this ever happened to you, brother? He spanks us. I won't hit that again. And when we talk about discipline, how do we relate to that? How do we relate to what discipline is? It's just what you've known. You never knew my dad. And I probably never knew yours. So I can't really say, not all of you, I can't really say how were you disciplined. And when you say the word discipline, where's your mind go to? When I say dog, where's your mind go to? Your little puppy, not mine. I had Louie this week. I was watching Louie this week, Brother Jared's little dog. That was fun, having a little dog around the house for a minute. But I like dogs. Just I would be a bad dog parent, I'll be honest, because you need to give them a lot of time and attention and love. Since I already know that I can't do that, it's not that I don't want to do that, I don't really feel like I can do that, then I do that dog a favor and I give him to one of you peoples who can really love them and put your time into it. So here we go. In chapter 2, it says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." Clever. He didn't come to them with oratory that was clever. 1 Corinthians 2. He didn't come to them with oratory that was clever and persuasive and wanting to win them over with his brilliant knowledge of the Old Testament. That's not why he came. Let's continue. "For I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." If that's all you know, that's all you have to know. Jesus Christ crucified, because all your answers are going to be in that. That's where your life is going to be. It's enough to know that. "I was with you in weakness and in fear." Now, if you want to know the narrative, this is past tense here. When he wrote this, he's speaking about the past, which you'll find in the 18th chapter and thereabouts in that whole history of his journeys, you know, where he went, of the book of Acts. You'll find that. If you go to take this and go to that narrative, you'll see he's speaking in Corinth. Gentile church. Okay, I'm trying to make sure that we're differentiating between the book of Hebrews to Jewish believers, which is still, they're just men, women, families, Christian people who needed strengthened and built up, who are drifting away from important things and starting to get caught up in the troubles of the time. It was a troublesome time. This was late in the centuries. You know, 60 AD, 70 AD, the persecutions were happening. Christians were being persecuted, beaten, thrown into prison. And so you start looking around you, you know, and you're the guy without the mask on. Everybody's giving you these cowling eyes. Never mind. I won't go there. I'm just saying, okay, what's my testimony? Am I walking uprightly? And he's challenging them in there to don't look at that. Don't look at the things around you. Look at what's before you. And we're going to get here. And so I came to you in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching was not with persuasive words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and power. The character and life of the Apostle Paul was different than what he was when he was a persecutor of the church. He had the same zeal, but now his boss was different. Instead of being driven by the devil, which is how my life was, driven by the devil, your life is different now because you're through the unction of the Spirit of God. Your life should look different now than what it was. You know? So, demonstrations of power. Well, more of that is, he's casting out devils. He's healing those that were sick. We know that when we look back into that life, into that book of Acts. So that your faith, since we are in the book of Hebrews, here it pops up and looks right at us. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The resurrection power of God, that will stir your faith. Yet we do speak wisdom. See, wisdom isn't like kicked to the curb here. We are speaking wisdom here. Among those who are mature, like you all. However, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Remember, we talked about glory, the things of old. The glory was diminishing. Yet these new things, the glory is increasing. You're light. And the more you submit to Jesus, the more you submit to the Holy Ghost, you'll be brighter and brighter. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between just having a wisdom of this world and having God's wisdom. It's a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Which the whole book of Hebrews is outlining that. The glory that Moses had, it wasn't the same. It's like that flashlight thing. You know, I have this bright flashlight. I talked about it, you know, and it, man, that thing is super, super bright. I take it out there and shine it in the grass. You'll never see it. Because the glory of the sun is much brighter than that flashlight. The glory of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is much brighter. It says, none of the rulers of this age has understood it. And this is what I, when I'm reading the Word of God, this is what I'm looking for. What is God up to? It's one thing to read the stories. It's another thing to know what God's up to. God's doing something through these men. He did things through the prophets of old. Elijah and Elisha. He did things through David and Moses. He was up to something. My redemption. He was up to salvation that was going to come to me and to you. He was up to something. It wasn't just a story. It was the hidden wisdom of God in that. When they went through the Red Sea, he was up to something. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm thinking I'm going to just carve a path. Whew. It was more than that. He was up to something. It wasn't just, we're parched here in the desert. Moses hit the rock. He was up to something when that rock split open and it watered everything. He was up to something. He's up to something in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came down and touched, laid on every one of them. And they began to speak in other languages. He's up to something. Oh, men and brother, Peter began to preach his first sermon right there. Men and brother, and then it sounded really good at first until he pointed at him and said, but you crucified him. You crucified him. None of the rulers of that age understood what God was up to. It says if they would have understood it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Without the crucifixion, there would be no I'm born again. It wouldn't have happened. Absolutely, the resurrection. But just as it is written, okay, now he's reaching back into the book of Isaiah, and he's drawing light in Revelation from it. Things which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, which have not entered the heart of man. Ooh, I didn't think of that. It hasn't entered the heart of man yet. Which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. We have to love the Lord. He is it for us. He is. You won't go backwards. You won't doubt. Be in doubt. You won't be in unbelief. You won't go backwards. You'll keep going forwards because you love the Lord. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. If you want to know God, you have to be in the Spirit. He is Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take of things of God and reveal them to us. This does connect with Hebrews. I'm getting there. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, who knows except the Spirit of God? Now, we have received not the Spirit. I'm not sure. I'll have to talk to Janet after the service and ask her, Janet, how does that sentence express itself that way? For you have not received the Spirit. I think it's not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know. You've received the Spirit so that you might know of the things freely given to us by God. Which things we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, which he said previously, not convincing, not intellectual, you know, articulation of the Old Testament. That's not how we get it. It's not that human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. This is what all the book of Hebrews is about. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. You know, things pertaining to Abraham. Sacrifice your son. What? I waited 25 years for this boy. And longer, really. I waited all this time. He didn't think about the instructions of God in a natural way. He was just, okay, faith said, I'll do it. Obedience. What does faith look like? Faith looks like obedience, obeying the voice of God. They were foolishness to him. He can't understand it because they're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of God that he would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We can't go on in our life without submitting to the Spirit of God. How will you understand what he says to us? So if we keep walking like the world, living like the world, seeing and getting our instructions from the world, you're not going to hear God. We have to submit to the Spirit of God. So let's take a little jog back to Proverbs. I'm getting to Hebrews, honestly, I am. Proverbs and the third chapter. Because we were talking about discipline. We're leaving that chapter 12, going to 13. My son, do not forget my teaching. This is genuine discipline, and I'm saying everything that the writer of Hebrews was talking about, I'll again state, I feel like it was Paul, is pulling and extracting from the Old Testament lessons for us to understand things. Seeing them spiritually, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, and laying it out before us. My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. Father's instructions to his son. Instructions are good. Discipline is good. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness, I like it too, brother. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. We're going to see that when we go to Hebrews 13. So hang tight. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. That's a very New Testament thought, isn't it? Yes, it is. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. This is how the apostle in his writing and his instructions of discipline, you need to have a good reputation. You know, you need to stand uprightly and stand for the faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We were just reading that in 1 Corinthians. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Again, 1 Corinthians 2. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. That's the instruction of discipline. That's what we're doing. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth. We're going to see this again in Hebrews 13. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty. A lot of times when we talk about faith and the faith message, it can go into that you're prosperous. And you know what? You are. You should be. You should be. You're the king's kid. You should be. If you're not, you really need to examine things in your life. If you're not, just because I wouldn't know. Yeah, unless God would reveal it to me. But I don't look for that kind of thing. I'm not looking at your life. I'm looking at my own life. I've got enough to look at my own life. Believe that. Do not reject the discipline, verse 11, the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. We just went through that last week in chapter 12. I'm going to receive that discipline from the Lord. It's instruction for me. It's good for me. He's good father. The discipline that I know of is my dad's discipline. The 2-inch belt with the rhinestones on it. I remember that thing well. You know, I'm just saying, I'm not downing my father. He was doing the best he could. Sometimes I wonder about discipline, and God, I've never seen God this way. Sometimes we're so hard on our kids because we don't want us to be embarrassed in public when we take them out. That's an odd reason to discipline your children, because you don't want to be embarrassed. I'll just let you ponder that, because, you know, I'm not saying I haven't felt that way. It's like, you know, but that's wrong. It's wrong for us. It's for their good. Do not explain or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. We saw that in Hebrews 12. Even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights. Guess what? God delights in you. Not in your perfection, because you know you're not there yet. Nor am I. But he delights in you. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Well, the rest of this chapter is just dynamite. But I was just laying this foundation of discipline. So let's go to Hebrews 13. So we're finally there, folks. Hebrews 13. And wait for it. Here we go. He's finalizing all his thoughts in Hebrews. We came out of that fantastic 11th chapter where all these great men of faith are showing us what faith looked like. And then we went into this discipline and how should that affect our life? And believe, you know, the discipline of the Lord correcting us, and how we have not come to this to looking at God. How do we see God? This mountain that's burning with fire and smoke, and if anything even approaches it, God will strike it down. That's not who we've come to. It's the Mount Zion that we've come to. A loving, merciful, heavenly Father who gave his son for us. The hidden wisdom that was hidden all throughout the Old Testament, he gave his son for us. Thank you, Lord. And we've been partakers with him. And we've been grafted into the family of God. All these allusions and types and shadows have been given to us all through the book of Hebrews. So this is where we are. God, after he spoke... Oops, how did I get there? 13, chapter 13, everybody. Amazing. I told it to go to Hebrews. I'm still getting used to this. Sorry about that. Here we go. Wait for it. There we go. Let love of the brethren continue. Let love of the brethren continue. These are the instructions. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. If you're slipping away from these things, if this isn't important to you anymore, look at your life. You know, if you don't remember people, if you don't think about people, if you're not praying for people. Now, I'm not saying, well, you're not a zealot like me. No, he's not saying that. If you're just thinking about your life and how your business is going to go and how your thing is and what's going on in your life, and that's all you're consumed with, examine that. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. We could go back and look at some of those things, but that's not really the important part here. Remember the prisoners. I've had such a respect for men who have in their carried in their heart. I've met a lot of guys who had prison ministry. Don't think that's what he's talking about in this particular passage of scripture. Although I do think that that's very important. Remembering prisoners. Remembering, you know, the people who maybe aren't, they're not at liberty to hear the word like you're hearing the word. But in this time, if you got in front of the wrong person, you might likely end up in jail just because you're a Christian. Remember, though, I think that more likely he's talking about this kind of context here. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourself are also in the body. If we would go back into the context of Corinthians, it says, when one suffers, all suffer. We're all suffering. You know, Pastor Bill is dealing with certain things at his house, but I felt that in myself, that I'm missing somebody that should be here. And he will be back. In the name of Jesus, he will be back. But I've missed him, and I'm sure you have too. I know all of you here have been concerned about him and been praying for him, fasting for him, speaking faith in the word over his life for strength, for health, for understanding and wisdom in his own life, because it's his body. He's going to deal with it. I said to him on Tuesday, I said, brother, I know that you've been trying to understand nutrition and immune system, different things for your life. You've studied those subjects. You've read those books. You know, you've tried to understand, and this thing sneaks up on you. You know, brother, it's just things that were hidden that maybe you didn't know. And some of that was happening in his life. But now he's dealing more in an understanding way. And he's moving forward, and God is strengthening him. And I'm really excited for him. But I miss him. And he'll be back. It says here, marriage. Marriage is to be held in honor among you, among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Very straightforward statement here about how important marriage is in the church. How important marriage is to God. Yet we have a society, and I'm not getting all political here. We have a society and a political system that wants to undermine all that. People who think they have wisdom, but it's a wisdom of this world because it works in their favor. Division works in their favor. Fear works in their favor. Well, I'm not giving them any ammunition for that kind of thing. So we walk uprightly. We honor marriages. We preach that there's a man and there's a woman. We don't preach another message than that. That's the message. Undefiled. make sure your character is free from the love of money. We just looked at that in Proverbs. Free from the love of money. So we get a chance to examine ourselves when we get a check in the mail. Checks in the mail are always good. I like them. I like a check in the mail. But now what do we do with it? What do we think about the first thing? You know, which our spirit is challenged about our uprightness. That doesn't mean you get a check in the mail and you give it away. That's not what it's preaching here. It's gauging your heart, understanding. Are you a still giver? Is your heart still wanting to give and to be a blessing? Or are we looking at the whole of Hebrews and saying that, are they backsliding? I had wrote this down. My mind wasn't on these things, but since they popped up, he was pointing out some perils that we happen to fall into at times. And he was marking these perils. So perils of drifting away from the truth. These things you find in Hebrews. Perils, I just feel it's important to remind us of it again. Perils of doubting, getting into doubting and unbelief. And every one of these he qualified with Old Testament passages of the people of God, when they came out of Egypt, they began to doubt that there was something in front of them, a land before them that I'm giving them that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were doubting that that was even so. The spies that came back, remember those stories? Perils of doubting. Perils of dull of hearing. Have we become dull that we don't know, that we don't hear the things of the Spirit anymore? That's all. We're just overwhelmed by CBS and NBC and MSNBC, and overwhelmed by all the facts that they're giving us, the story and deceptions that they're giving us. I don't accept that as, that's not going to change my life. Everything that you're telling me on the news is not going to change my life. This will change my life. The Word of God will change my life because He has something planned for me. And I'm not going to hear it on the late night shows. I'm not going to hear it on there. I'm going to hear it by waiting on the Lord. Perils of departing away from the faith. Oh, I found this new road. Deb and I will be driving sometimes. And me mostly driving, I suppose. And it's like, take a turn. Let's go this way. Do you know where we're at? Oh, yeah. I've been up here for yard sales. She knows exactly where we're at. And she helps me find my way home. It's either that or turn the GPS back on again. Because, you know, I don't know all these roads. Perils of despising. Despising the Word of God, really? Do we do that? Despising the truths that are coming forth? Despising things. Perils of denying. Whether we'd be in denial that's what God said. If that's what He said, that's what He said. Free from the love of money. Being content. Is my heart content? In other words, He's looking at their life and He's just bringing up topics that we can use to judge. Gauges we can use to say, where's my heart at? Am I content with what I have? Or am I looking at, am I looking at something else? That's not the way faith works. Remember the real, you know, rubber meets the road kind of idea with faith is, while looking at the things ahead that God has for you, that's going to strengthen your faith. Because I'm looking at something better. God has something better for me. Better for me. Even where I think it's pretty good right now, but it's going to get better, so much better. He says here, I will never, this is how we can have this confidence, being content in what you have, for He Himself has said, again, reaching into the Old Testament, drawing out inspiration, revealing it to us, getting something you can grab your teeth into. Ah, I got this. I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Lord, you are Pastor Bill's helper. See, I use these things I was sharing with you. He's confident that you are his helper, that you will raise him up, that you will lift him up. The Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid. All the fear and the unbelief and doubting and departing that's coming at you all the time as we look around in this life and in this world. Don't have my eyes on that. We can't have our eyes on that. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I'm not going to be afraid. And that's not, oh, I'm Mr. Tough Guy. I'm Mr. Believer Guy. And that's what you are. You're Mr. Believer Guy. Gal. I believe him. I believe what he has said. The Lord is my helper. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Men, women of God who have stood up before us years for years and years and years and have stood strong in the faith, follow and imitate them. Mimic them. That word imitate is mimic. Greek word is mimic. Mimic them. Be like them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Brother Jared was just inspired by that as he was singing that song. You're the same, singing a song just a little while ago while we were just getting in the spirit, getting into worship. I want to say we were practicing, but we weren't really practicing. We're just doing what we do. See, you don't practice being a Christian. You are. Just be that. If Christianity is a mask for you, look at that, because it shouldn't be, and it's not. You are. You be that. It's not something you try hard at. You yield to the Spirit of God, and the more He trains you, and the more He corrects us, the more He brings us up, the more uprightly we walk, and the more your light shines. Don't be carried away with various strange teachings. For it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. Now, watch this portion of Scripture, because this is kind of a clue to why they were looking into the life of this Hebrew church. You know, these are clues that were being revealed to us. Watch how he carries this. Through which those who were occupied were not benefited. They weren't benefited by paying close attention to foods. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now, I'm surmising, and this is 100% my opinion of this, and looking at this scripture, wherever these Hebrews were at, whatever location, there were certain zealots among them. I didn't read this in a commentary. Okay, but I'm supposing by what he read here, they must have reenacted the tabernacle in order to get closer to God, because that's all they knew. They knew that if they had a tabernacle and they began to reenact the revivals of Josiah and the Hezekiah, start up again with the offerings, that God will come and deliver us like he always has. They weren't keeping track of what is God doing now. They didn't have their eyes on Jesus Christ, the sacrifice above all sacrifices. But by reading the content here, that they were for the bodies of those animals, verse 11, whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest. Well, we know that this was all gone by then. You know, in this particular time period when Jesus walked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were bringing sacrifices in. You know, they were cheating them at the money tables. No, that's not pure. That lamb. Here, take this lamb. You know those stories. They were cheating them out of the men and women who were bringing. Going by what they knew and what they understand, they just were bringing sacrifice so that they worshiped the Lord in the only way they knew how. Not seeing Jesus for who he was yet. They were going to, though, because they were there to make sacrifice and to give praise and offerings to the Lord. So this must have been going on during this particular time. You know, in this location, I'm not sure where it was exactly. It says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burnt outside the camp. Now watch how he uses this. They were burned outside of the camp, away from the holy place. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Put away sin from yourself, bearing his reproach. He took on the sins of the world while he stood there on the cross. The sins of the world were being laid upon him. For here, we do not have a lasting city. Oh, we're looking though. But we're seeking the city which is to come. Fix your eyes on that. And it's easier, much easier, to bear the reproach of Christ as you go out, outside the camp. Through him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank you, Jesus. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He's everything to you. The love of your life. Jesus is everything. Your freedom, your hope, your faith. These Christians, the Hebrew Christians, were backsliding. They were doubting. They were in unbelief. They were living the best that they could, they thought. But they weren't being a witness any longer to the world. Their light has dimmed. And this is encouragement to them to set a torch to it. Set a torch to it. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And they will. Pastor Bill will give an account for his work. It says here, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I honestly, I don't have the heart of a pastor. There's something to that just like I so love and respect that in my pastor. There's something to that he has. You have it too. That you can carry people in your heart knowing. It's like raising a baby. Or even a dog. You know, I'm not comparing it to. But if you talk to dog lovers, that you know what I mean. That's their baby. And they poop on the floor. They poop in their pants. And you love them. You love them. You clean it. But you still love them. See, that doesn't affect how you feel about that. That puppy, that little person, it doesn't change anything. You love them with the depths of your heart. God loves you with the depths of your heart, even if you make a mistake. He's there to pick you up and to encourage you and to build you up. It's unprofitable for you if you just want to continue in that forever, and they're 19 years old, and you have this great big diaper on them. I can't even wrap my mind around that, folks. But you have to keep doing that all the time, and they never learn to go to the pot. You know, that's who does that? I understand. And we all have accidents. Well, maybe accidents happen. I understand that world. Pray for us, verse 18, for we're sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this. Be honorable. Be upright. Be a Christian. Be a light to the world. Salt of the earth. That's what you are. He's encouraging these people to step it up. So that I may be restored to you the sooner. Continue to pray for him. That's why, again, many, many things in the book of Hebrews, I feel that this is the Apostle Paul, because he said this before. Now, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead, this is a mouthful of insight right here in this verse. Now, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you. This is prayer. Equip you in every good thing to do his will. Kind of sounds like Philippians, doesn't it? Who Paul wrote. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Sounds like Philippians. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you in brief. Briefly. I just jotted down a few notes for you here, folks. It's just 13 chapters. I just jotted down a few notes. I think these are some things you need to know. That Jesus was higher. He was the exact image and likeness of God. That he was higher than the angels. That he was greater than David. His glory outshined what Moses presented to us. Concerning the tabernacle, you're the tabernacle of Christ. All this insight and revelation that he brought to them. The blood of bulls and goats doesn't even compare to the blood of the Lamb. All these insights that he continued to bring out through the book of Hebrews. Brief summary of the things of God. The hidden mysteries that were given to us. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Paul was looking at not the chains that were on him, his feet, his hands, his beatings. He wasn't looking at that. He says, I'm going to see you soon. He was looking at being released. I don't know if he was released at this time, but he was looking to be released. If it was even him that wrote it. This person that wrote it was a man of faith. And he was looking to come and visit the brethren because he was carrying them in his heart. I'll come soon. I will see you. Greet all the leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. And that finishes the book of Hebrews.